I have to tell you, I don't know how the sermon's going to come out, but Father Frank down the street loved the title. He came up to me at the Fullerton Interfaith Ministers Association. He's the Catholic priest in charge of this parish of over 5,000 people, and said, "Borrowing Lent, I really like that. I really like, what are you going to say?" So I thank you. Obviously, he got the play on words, borrow and lend. And in my opening words, I talked about how we as Unitarian Universalists are pretty shameless or proud. It's actually the same thing. In terms of wanting to borrow ideas and rituals and to be nourished by them. Lent is not one of the big Unitarian holidays. In the binge purge cycle of religious ritual, we tend to be on the binge side of things, and giving up something for a spiritual purpose seems counterintuitive. But I guess my message is no, not so much. I'm really a Darwinian in terms of religious rituals or anything that, or non-religious rituals, anything that human beings do that we do for over an hour and a half that has a long history that goes back a decade, a century, a millennia, two millennia, must nourish us at some level or it wouldn't survive as a ritual. It must have some function, some purpose that we respond to, because these things don't survive just out of inertia or just out of guilt. They have to work at some level. So when thinking about Lent, and incidentally, the word Lent has nothing to do with borrowing. Well, actually, in a long about way, it might. It comes from a Germanic word for length, for long. And some people say that it's because the fast seems like it's a really long time. But it's probably because of the spring and the lengthening of days that we get Germanic word, Lent. Almost every religion and tradition has some part of this cycle of sacrifice, of knowledgeable sacrifice, of giving something up in order to gain something else, in examining our lives and our stories and trying to figure out what is it that we value? What is it that is of worth in our lives? The very word worship is worth-ship. It is an examination and holding up things of life, things of value, things that we have or things that we want. And the Lenten idea, the sacrificial idea, exists virtually everywhere in religious tradition. When you think of Lent, you know it's the 40-day period from Mardi Gras, that's the binge part that we all know about, to Easter. And the 40 days are counted differently. No, religions don't agree on a simple thing like what constitutes the 40 days of Lent. They disagree. But let's not do the math. Let's do the idea behind the math. Where does that come from? Well, the Noahic flood was 40 days and 40 nights. The wandering in the desert of, Moses at Mount Sinai was 40 days and 40 nights. Wandering in the desert of Sinai was 40 years. Jesus meditating and contemplating in the desert was 40 days. These themes get picked up from religion to religion, not helter-skelter, but as part of an orderly pattern. So that's why we get 40 days where we're asked to actually think about our lives and think about what's important to us and think about two things that I think are critical to a conscious, mindful life, and that is consciousness and connection. Who are we in this world? What do we value in this world? How much do we value it? And how do we connect to others? There are a lot of paradoxes involved in all of these kinds of rituals, and a lot of numbers that are involved, that there are 10 days of awe in the Jewish tradition between the New Year, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. There are 10 days where Jews are asked to contemplate, take a personal inventory of values. There are 10 days in both Sunni and Shia Islam, but emphasized in Shia Islam, again, 10 days called Ashura, that where, again, people are asked to look at their lives, see what's valuable, see what we appreciate, what we have that we would actually miss if we gave up. The idea of giving something up, of making a sacrifice as a ritual, is empty unless it leads to something deeper than just a gesture. We all know the joke was a good joke. What did you give up for Lent? I gave up going to church. Okay, I'm giving up rhubarb and liver, both separately and together. That's not a sacrifice. A sacrifice is to remind you that there are things of value. A fast is to remind us of the hungry, of the homeless, of the oppressed. The reason for a fast at Ramadan is for Muslims to feel connected to the Prophet sitting in a cave receiving the Quran and Lailatul Qadri at the night of power. The idea of the Lenten fast is Jesus in the desert alone, contemplating life, mortality, temptation, and all of the things that human beings are tempted by that lead us away from our values. It's about examining our values. It's about examining what is important to us. And there it is in every tradition. There it is. This attempt to create a deeper sense of consciousness, a deeper sense of appreciation for what we have. It is a cliche, but doesn't make it less true, that we don't know what we have till we don't have it anymore. And in a sense, that's what that kind of sacrifice is about. It is about giving up some of the luxury, not so that we live in sackcloth and ashes, but we appreciate what we have and we feel for our neighbors and our friends and our family who don't have those things. If you only do the ritual and don't get connected, if it's only your hunger, if you're giving up food, and it doesn't lead you to feel the hunger out there, if it's only your loneliness, if you decide to sit and meditate and you don't get connected to others who are out there without connections to a greater human family, then the ritual is dead and without meaning. Rituals, religious rituals, only work if they create consciousness that leads to activity. The tallit that's worn at services in Jewish temples and synagogues has four long fringes to remind people to leave the corners of the fields unharvested for the gleaners. Now, that's the literal interpretation. But, of course, not everybody here has a field. But everybody does have the ability to leave something for others. You can wear the tallit 24 hours a day, but if it doesn't remind you to be a better person, within a Jewish tradition, the words would be segornis helfen. It doesn't help. It doesn't advance things. You can go to church on days of holy obligation, as my friends in Vienna did, and be totally unconscious. They're going because it was expected of them to go. But crossing yourself isn't going to make you holy. It may remind you of Good Friday, and should, if you're a Christian, and then to take the next step about the pain that is out there, the suffering in the world that is out there. We can take our various religious stories from all of our traditions and just use them as stories and debate, did they really happen? Which, for me, is missing the point. Or we can see how they are loaded with some sense of meaning and greater purpose, encouraging us actually to do something, to be present where there is suffering. Doesn't mean that we cure it, but being present, giving of our hearts, giving of our substance, giving of our caring counts. You know, the kind of messianic feelings that a lot of people get are complicated, and they're often benign sounding, but we get frustrated. If we can't fix it, we won't engage it. And so my friend who is sick, I don't know what to say, I can't fix it, I don't want to show up, it's embarrassing. The hungry and the homeless here, I can't fix it, I don't have enough. Our little collection here isn't enough. Well, it isn't enough, but without doing the starfish sermon, it is something. It is a person fed today, not forever, but today. Ritual should remind us to do the right thing today. When our middle son David got married, there was a woman on the list that we didn't know, that was put on the list by my wife's mother. And we all understand that the parents of the bride and groom get to put all their friends on, and the kids don't necessarily know them. But when you get down to the second and third generation, we went up to her and said, Ma, what's this person doing on the list? Do you know how much we're paying per head, or actually per mouth? And she said, well, when I was at Auschwitz, she gave me a piece of bread and saved my life. This is salvation. This is the meaning of salvation. The great Italian Catholic communist, and only in Italy is that not a set of contradictions, Ignazio Salone, said that it is true that to the poor, God comes in the form of bread. Yeah, you don't need to have consubstantiation, transubstantiation. You know that a piece of bread is life. And it doesn't solve all of hunger. It didn't assure that my mother-in-law would live through the war or even live through the day. But it was the right and decent thing to do in that moment. That person could have said, one piece of bread isn't going to save her. I should eat it myself. That would have been an okay decision for that person to make. But look at what a difference a piece of bread makes. What a difference a sacrifice of something important. I mean, of something important, of life and death in that moment, of generosity, of consciousness, of connection. And you could not ever know what the consequences would be. We can never know the consequences of doing a small right thing or failing to do a small right thing. What our finest religious traditions ask us to do is to try to be conscious, to try to do those things ritually that will remind us of how to be conscious, how to be decent, how to be connected in the world. We have all kinds of ways of doing that. We ritualize our activities in collecting food here. And in collecting this food, it's to do far more than to feed people. It's to remind all of us and to remind all of our children every Sunday that we are connected to a larger world, a world that calls on us to be involved. So this is ritual. This is symbol. This is substance. And what our various Lenten seasons call on us to do is to think about these things. These rituals that happen every Sunday that's just, oh, the kids are taking up a food collection. Yes, but that's not, as they say on TV, yes, but that's not all, folks. They are reminding us, and we are reminding them, that we live in a world where our choices of who stands and who falls, who gets justice and who doesn't get justice, is part of our lives and our responsibilities. What are we giving up? Am I asking you to give up anything for Lent? No? That's up to each person. What the sermon is asking is, think about what's important. Think about how we are connected one to another in community. Think about not what we can give up, but the great paradox of every religion about sacrifice and fasting is that we give in order to gain. And we shouldn't feel conflicted about that. I know lots of people that say, well, I got involved in this charity work, but I feel so good, it just seems wrong. No. If you do the right thing and it feels good, that's usually a pretty good sign. It's okay. It's okay to feel good about what you give up, good about what you give, because, again, it's a reminder of what's valuable. It's a reminder of what we have. It's a reminder of our connection to the hungry, to the homeless, to the oppressed, to the people in our midst, to the people in our community, to the people in the world. And anything that reminds us how to be better, how to open up our hearts, is a good thing. Empty ritual is empty, but we fill it. We fill it with consciousness. We fill it with choice. Now, I would be committing ecclesiastical malpractice if I don't point out to you that our congregation does that same thing, that we have an annual budget drive where we go to each of you and say, so how important is this place? What does it mean to you? What are your values? How can you line up your values with your commitments? How can you give up not rhubarb and liver, unless you're really into it, and as Unitarian Universalists, we recognize your right to be into rhubarb and liver. We'll even affirm your right, but I personally will affirm it from a great distance. But to give sacrifices that are proportionate with examined values. It's not about guilt. It's not about necessity. It's about examined values and how we are in the world and how we support each other in our thinking, in our searching, in our choosing, and how we work individually and together to make a better world, to change the nature of how justice is understood, to take words like all men are created equal and understand that that means women and that means of every race and ethnicity and tribe and country. That it's not about we are all exactly the same, what a dull world, and Unitarians wouldn't have the sources to borrow creatively from. We celebrate our opportunity to be of service to each other and to the world. And by doing that, we grow and open our own hearts. The ritual of Lent we can borrow when we do it consciously for the purpose of growing our hearts.